Thank you for your kindness to us, all the food, the accommodations, the offering. May God bless you for your giving. And I trust that you could receive from God's anointing and word tonight. And just open your heart and allow the Lord to place something there. He can place a jewel there that will never leave you. Place something there that you never get over. This night could be a memorial for you. You know, spiritual experience. And it's not in our ability, but in God's. And we're looking to Him tonight to do that that needs to be done in this service. Brother Teague preached so well Sunday, and he mentioned some of the scripture that the Lord placed on my heart today. And it's found in the book of Ezekiel. I'll read it first. And some more scriptures to go with this. He was reading, he took his text from 36, but I'd like to read from the 37th chapter, the book of Ezekiel. 37 of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. If the story stopped here, what would be our response, and how would we look at this story? I wonder. But it doesn't stop here. It tells the rest of the story. That God done. And again, the fourth verse. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and bone came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I believe the Lord is able to do this. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Brother Bill's already quoted the Scripture tonight. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And he also quoted, nothing too hard for our God. But sometimes we look at situations like this, and we look at the carnage, we look at the situation, how bad it really is. It seems like our faith dwindles. But tonight, my friend, I'd like to point our view beyond the carnage. I'd like to get us to see beyond these things that look so horrible and look so impossible. There is a God that can perform life again. He can bring hope again. He can put the pieces back together again. When they're scattered, when it looks like they're scattered and impossible to ever be anything again, the Lord can bring it back together again. In Matthew, there's a little portion of Scripture, and he's trying to get us to see what took place, and he puts the blame on someone that done something in Scripture. And he said, an enemy hath done this. He points the finger at the enemy hath done this. And as we look at this Scripture, we can see that an enemy hath done this. And I'm not here tonight to boast on the enemy and point to all the things that he does. But sometimes that's all we can see. Sometimes we behold the carnage of the enemy. We see what the enemy's done. Right. But tonight I'd like to point to you something after that. I'd like to get you to behold on something after the carnage, after the massacre, after the defeat, after all it looks like the enemy's done. There's victory. There's victory. When it seems like it's all said and done, it looks like it's all over. My friend, there's the Lord that looks upon our scene, and He can send His word to us. He can prophesy to us, and life can come again. The man of God looked at the bones and said, Lord, Thou knowest. I don't know. I may be adding to this story, but I can't believe that he just looked on it too long, but looked up and said, Lord, Thou knowest. And the Word of God began to come to him. But sometimes we stand in the midst of the situation, spiritually speaking, just like this. It looks like the enemy's done so much havoc. It looks like he's brought so much death. And here he looks like he's gained so much victory. But my friend, I want you to hear the rest of the story. I want you to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. There is victory after the handy work of Satan. It looks like he's brought so much. But after the works of Satan, there's a putting back together again. There is a revival in our day still. There's breath that can come to the soul of the dying. He can put it back together again. When this scripture come to me, another one come to me. We remember the story in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah had heard about the walls of Jerusalem. He heard about the devastating report, and his countenance was sad. And the king saw his sad countenance, and he said, what is it, my friend? What's the matter? He began to relate to the king. The walls of my homeland, the city, the walls that protect my city have been destroyed. And the gates are burned with fire. And they're all broken down. And he gives him permission to go and do something about this. And in the second chapter of the book of Nehemiah, we read in the 12th verse, and I rose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool. But there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went, nor what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I to them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no more be a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard of it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. I like the attitude that Nehemiah had. I like the zeal that he had. After he had viewed all the walls that were torn down, he viewed the destruction of the enemy. He encouraged those men. Let us rise and build. I believe we can put these walls back. I believe we can bring Jerusalem back to its original state. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and bills. Hallelujah. But there's a couple of times we can read over in the fourth chapter, there's a word used that's not used any time anywhere else in the Bible. And it's not used by Nehemiah. I want you to take notice of this. And the word is found in the fourth chapter and the second verse. And this is the enemy talking again. And he spake before the brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end of the day? Will they revive these stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned?" That word rubbish is used here. And then we can read on in the 10th verse. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." You see, this word he's using is rubbish. When you mention this word, it seems like there's nothing good that can come out of it. It's disposal. It's trash. Nothing good can come out of this. But you see who's using this word? This word is being used by their enemy. I want to tell you, saints of God, we've got an enemy that's pointing to us the rubbish. He's trying to get us to behold there is no hope out of this. There is no revival. But I've come to preach to you today, there is hope after the rubbish. Hope after the boneyard. There's victory after the carnage. Victory after it seems like it's all said and done. It looks like Satan has got the last word. But my friend, hear the rest of the story. There's still victory after it's all said and done. Rubbish. What can you do with rubbish? What can you do with rubbish? Sometimes that's where we stand. We look at the rubbish and we wonder, will it ever be right again? Will it ever be the same again? The enemy done everything they could to stop Nehemiah. They've done everything they could. They tried to get him to stop the work many times. But this man had a zeal, hallelujah, from God. He wanted to see this work complete. He had such a zeal. They worked with a weapon in one hand and a working instrument in the other to see this work done. Oh, but many of us sometimes we come to the rubbish and immediately we throw up our hands and quit. We come and look at the boneyard and we shake our head and say it's hopeless. But I've come to tell you, there's life after the carnage. There's walls after the rubbish. There's yet hope. There's yet a revival. There's yet something God can do to us and bring us again to the statue He'd want us to be. What are you looking at? What are you seeing tonight? Are you seeing the rubbish? Are you beholding something Satan is causing you to look at? The Bible said in Psalm 66, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us to the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads." I'm going to tell you, when that happens, it seems so over. When your enemy rides over your head, that means you're down. And there, can't you just picture this in your mind? An army defeated, and here comes the horseman riding over the carnage. If that was all the story would have a sad ending. That's not all the story. We went through the fire and through the water. The water and fire are useful servants, but they can be cruel masters on the other hand. Which tonight controls you? Does the water and the fire that's come your way, is it your master or is it your useful servant? I'm going to tell you, God can bring it down again to where it's
good for you instead of it controlling you. I want to tell you tonight, he said, but oh, thou broughtest us into a wealthy place. When mine enemy rode over my head, when my walls were torn down, when the bones were scattered in the valley, he came through and brought to us the victory again. Hey, church, this is not it. This is not the ending. It's not over yet. There's still power being manifest in the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Woo! I know the devil's wreaking havoc, but God ain't got the last say yet. He's not said the last word in your behalf yet. Woo! Hallelujah. What are you seeing? What are you beholding? I would we'd look to say, Lord God, thou knowest. Hey, you know whether these bones can live again. You know whether these walls can be raised again. The devil will take facts and use them against us. Yeah, he's very good at using facts. Look how bad it is. Look how bad it is. How many times has he tried to infiltrate the sanctuary, the place of safety? And in that place of safety, him reveal himself and wreak havoc. And I've seen children cry because of that happening. Oh, hallelujah. It's not over. And as far as I know tonight, he's on the outside of the sanctuary. And while you're here in the sanctuary, I want you to gain some faith and some strength that when you go out of the sanctuary that you'll put a surprise on that enemy. You'll let him know tomorrow. You thought you had me down. He was doing the countdown for me to be out. But I'm not it. I'm not out. It's not over with. I'm still going over Jesus. I feel courage. I feel revival. I feel him breathing on me. I feel him giving the hope again that I'd lost in the battle. Hey, church, gain hope again. Get faith again. Hey, let's go forward for Christ. It's the better ahead than behind. The best is yet to come. It's better just ahead. You wait till you walk into the realm of the rest of the story. Pardon me for using Paul Harvey's slogan. Sometimes we don't know the whole story until we hear the rest of the story. I'm glad the rest of the story was revealed in Scripture. Nehemiah, in the face of the enemy, put the walls back under severe condition. They didn't even take off their clothes for washing or rest. They were into it. They had a zeal. And all the while, the enemy said, come down. Let us talk to you. Let's get on the league here. Let's make a covenant. Come down. We need to talk to you. He said, my work is too great. This work is too important. Do you reckon it'd be to come down? Do you reckon Sanballat and Tobiah would have brought up the word rubbish again? Do you reckon if he'd have stopped for a moment that he'd have not brought up that word again to simply discourage them and say what you're doing is not going to work? Even a fox, if it runs upon the wall, it's going to fall down. But hey, Sanballat, do you realize I'm on a mission from God? I'm on a mission from heaven. If I was you tonight, I'd tell the devil, you may have run over me a few times, but I'm on a mission from heaven. Woo! I'm on a mission from the glory world. I've come to do the work of my Father. I stand to do His will in this last and dark day. Sometimes it seemed like I had the breath knocked out of me. You ever felt that? That's a horrible feeling. Moments seem like eternity. You're trying to get that
breath back again. But when it comes back, life has begun. Not over. Life has begun. I'm going to tell you tonight, Satan's already picked out your grave. It's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. Your grave. Your spiritual grave. I ain't talking about out here on the hillside. But there's a spiritual grave. He's got your name on it. He's got high anticipating on putting you down and putting you under. If we could hear those friends, if we could hear the Word of God speaking to our being again, just go ahead and cancel that tomb reservation. Go ahead and cancel that tomb reservation. I won't need it. I won't need it. I'm going to go home with Jesus. I'm going to live in His blessings. I'm going to serve Him anyway. I may have some hard trials. It may look like a stand alone, but I'm going to serve Him anyway. I feel the help of, I feel my helper near. I feel Him encouraging me. I feel Him breathing on me. I believe I can make it all the way. I hear Him say, come on, church. You can make it if you try. There's a cloud of witnesses that saying, come on, church. You can make it. How long are we going to stand? And there's another story that I need to read to you. 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. When it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. They had taken the women captives and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burning with fire. The wives and the sons and the daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up the voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Oh. Have you ever been there? You looked at what an enemy had done and you wept bitterly at the effects of the enemy's work. But listen, that's the rest of the story. David's two wives were taken captives to handle him. Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed. Seemed like David's distress was a little bit greater than those that were with him. Now, his very followers spake a stone in him. He could have said, boys, go ahead and throw the stones. It's over with. It's all over. Go ahead. I'm worthy of death. I've led you to this place. And our enemy has taken advantage of us. These were men that were following in David to be the king. He was to be their king. And now from what they see, the destruction, they speak of stoning their leader. But David encouraged himself. If you keep looking at what the devil's done, you'll never be encouraged in the Lord. I believe David turned his back on the ash pile. I believe he got those men out of sight. I believe he got everything out of sight but God. And he began to inquire of the Lord. Shall I pursue? Shall I go after this enemy? Instead of folding his hands and quit, instead of giving in to the pressure, hallelujah,
The enemy would have loved for that to have happened. But instead of David folding his hands, he began to ask his God, "Shall I pursue?" He encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Lord said, "Pursue. And without fail, thou shalt recover all." You can stand in the ashes if you want to. But I believe there's a blessing line ahead of us. I believe there's another revival. There's another outpour of the Holy Ghost in our time that'll bring us past the ashes and get us to looking at the glory of God. I'll sit on the pew with you tonight. I've been guilty of going wrong. I've seen pictures of people in the hurricane looking for memorable items, finding pictures of the family. You can imagine what that does to the soul and to the spirit, to the heart. Seeing the tattered and torn remains. But you know, something gets in that being and that soul and says, "We'll build again." I had the privilege to work in some of the houses that sat on the Gulf that right after Ivan came. It seemed like the Lord just put me into these people's lives. And some of the sweetest people I've ever met. She said, before the storm in our little community here, we didn't hardly speak to each other. She said, "But now we embrace when we see our friends and our neighbors." And she said, "I thought I had it bad and I was depressed about my loss." And she said, "I decided one day to go out and help the others." She said, "When I did, I got to seeing my loss wasn't as bad as I thought it was." She said, "It helped me. It promoted me. It got me out of the defeat that I felt." I tell you, if the devil has defeated you, just start looking for ways to help somebody else. If he's got you standing knee-deep in ashes, start trying to relieve the oppressed of others. Hallelujah. You'll finally, after a while, your hands will go up and you'll start worshiping God again. The devil don't like for us to worship. He doesn't like for us to come out of the ashes, shake ourselves, and worship God. Oh, his intent was Job to never do what he'd done. Job, I'll never intend for you to worship God. But Job came out of the ashes and said, "I'll worship the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I believe tonight if you'd worship God right here in this service, it puts you in another plateau. It brings you to another place you never thought you could get to again. Worship God in the sanctuary. Talking to my friend in Houston, and he was pretty down. I told him, "So John, right now I'm gonna tell you some medicine you need. You need to worship God where you're at." And I got to talking to him about worship. He finally said, "Let me go so I can worship. Let me go so I can worship. Let me get off this phone. I've got to go worship God." Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, the devil's trying to stop our worship. Ooh, hallelujah. He'd like for this group of people never to rise out of the valley of dry bones to worship God again. He'd like for us to be there to stay. It's final, my friend, but no, we'll worship God again. I believe we can have revival in this last hour. I believe we can have revival in the midst of the darkness. I believe we can have revival in the midst of the carnage, in the midst of the rubbish. We can have revival again. Revival, church. Revival. Don't settle for anything less but a resuscitation from God. Could we stand? Could we stand? Breathe on us, Holy Ghost. Breathe on us tonight. come, four winds, and breathe on us. Those that are slain, those that the devil has slain, those that the devil's run over their head. Father, bring us to that wealthy place. The flood that washes against us, lift up a standard against us, against it, Lord. Let the Spirit of God lift up a standard. The fire that would consume us, let it become our servant instead of our master. Let it become, hallelujah, something that we could use to benefit us instead of it being out of control and consuming our being. Give us victory tonight, Lord, in your house. Give us victory in this altar service again. Bring us forth out of our grave that the devil has tried to put us in. Seal the tomb. I believe the Lord would like to bring us out tonight. Death is an enemy. Whether physically or naturally, spiritually, it's an enemy. I believe a spiritual death is worse than a natural death. But I believe it's the will of God tonight. Who's ever dying from the blow of Satan is to rise up at the voice of the Lord that calls us forth out of the predicaments and stages we're in. You dealt a blow. You was dealt a blow many years ago and you never recovered from it. And it's taking its toll on you. I believe tonight the Lord would like to call you forth out of that place. It's only brought to you doubts and fears and anxiety. It's only added trouble to trouble and sorrow upon sorrow. But tonight, friend, I felt the Holy Ghost give me this little message for this church tonight. For this group of people tonight. Who am I talking to? You've looked at the rubble and wondered, would it ever be any different than that? And I've come to tell you tonight the rest of the story. Yes, it'll be better than it ever was before. That little lady that we worked in her house, she said, Philip, I've had better furniture give to me. I've got better furniture than I had before. My house is nicer than it was before. She said, things are better, actually, than it was before. But there was a day when she walked through the mud and the muck in her house. She'd have never thought that. The battle has become intense. And you wondered, would it ever be any better than this? I've come to tell you, yes. Yes. It's not defeat, but it's victory. It's victorious. I will always triumph in Christ Jesus. He always causes me to triumph. I will be victorious in my Lord. In Jesus, I claim the victory. In Jesus, my Lord, I will rise to live again. I will be blessed again by Him and by His hand. I'm listening for your call to come forth, Lord. I will respond to the Word of God that's touching my being tonight. I hear your Word. I feel your breath. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming to respond to your revival. Would you come right now? 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 I'd let this be a different day than it was yesterday. As my enemy rolled over my head and claimed victory, I'd let it be different today. You thought I was out, Satan, but I'm not out of the fight. This is not the end, but the beginning. I begin afresh. I start anew. Put me in that exceeding army, Lord, of you, Jesus, tonight.
Put me on the Lord's side tonight. Come, church. Come, whosoever will come. Come. Come.